I'd first of all like to read in the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. It's on page 1327 in my Bible. A time when Paul and Silas have been speaking about Jesus, and for that they've been brought before the judges. And now we might read from verse 23. And having laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe, who, having received such a charge, cast them into the inner prison, and secured them in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, in praying, were praising God with singing, and the prisoners listened to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison shook, and all the doors were immediately opened, and the bonds of all loosed. And the jailer, being wakened out of his sleep, and seeing the doors of the prison opened, having drawn a sword, was going to kill himself, thinking that the prisoners had fled. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And having asked for lights, he rushed in, and trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and leading them out, said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." We'll refer to a couple of other scriptures later. We've seen a couple of videos on YouTube about persons who had need. And maybe they've had an accident at sea. And they need assistance. And the US Coast Guard send out the required rescue, search and rescue equipment, whether it be boats or whether it be helicopters, and they do their very best to find people or help injured people and bring them to somewhere safe. It's most interesting. Sometimes they're successful, most of the time they're successful. Unfortunately, there are times when they're not successful. And it brought me to the thought as to the need of all of us to be saved, And it made me think of this man, and he said, "What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" It's an interesting situation. There was Paul and Silas put in a prison. They hadn't really done anything wrong. They'd only spoken about Jesus. But there was an uproar, and they were put into prison. And they were not just in the outer prison, but they were right in the inner prison, right in the centre. They were to be kept secure. Very strange. Here they are, as Christians, they're found praying and praising God with singing. I don't think you'd find that very often in prison. But these men, they weren't restricted by the four walls which were around them, or the stocks which held their feet. There they were, able to open up to God. But you find that this jailer, he had fallen asleep. The other prisoners were listening to these two men singing, but the jailer had fallen asleep. Fallen asleep on the job, I suppose. But he felt that the locks on the doors kept everybody safe, so he was quite happy to take his pay and sleep on the job. But then suddenly there was this earthquake, and his world was shaken upside down. What an opportunity for the prisoners. Doors open, way out. But because of what had been they'd listened to, what they'd heard, they were held. They were held. And they were all there. And they kept safe. But this man, the jailer, he was getting himself into a state. He thought that the prisoners had all fled. And his neck was going to be on the line. His bosses were going to come down on him. And the way out, he felt, was to draw a sword and commit suicide. What a state to find himself in. But then Paul cries out and he says, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." Wow. What a message Paul had. Do thyself no harm. And God would say the same today. Circumstances may be very difficult. Very difficult. We can all know what it is to be down. Right down in the dumps. Paul could bring this message. Do thyself no harm. We're all here. And this jailer rushes in and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" I suppose initially his thought was that he needed to be saved from those he was who were above him, those who would have taken his life for the prisoners who had escaped. He'd neglected his duty. But Paul had more in mind. He had more in mind. What must I do to be saved? And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved." What Paul had in mind was the condition of this jailer before a holy and righteous God. It's like the gospel today, dear friend. And you may not realise that you have a need of a saviour. One to save you from a situation that we all find ourselves in because we're human beings. We're all affected by sins. We're all sinners. Now don't be offended, dear friend, by that. Don't be offended by that. We have to deal with facts. I might be speaking about you as being a sinner. But when I point at you, I've got to remember three fingers are pointing back at me. So I'm a sinner too. I'm a sinner. And I need a saviour. But what can I do? God is righteous. He's holy. And he cannot have sin in his presence. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That is a judgment that God will put upon each one of us. What a situation to find ourselves in. But God has taken account of our situation. And he's provided one who can save us. And this is who Paul was pointing to. The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. And this one that Paul could point to is the one that we can point to today as a saviour for sinners. How we can give thanks to God for that. That there's one being provided. Now I don't know how much you know about Jesus. He may be a figure in the history of this world. But he is the one, dear friend, who has changed completely the history of this world. He was a man, but he was unlike any other man. He came from God, God's only begotten Son. We are created We are created, and we are creatures. But Jesus came here and took up a body like unto our own bodies, flesh and blood. But he was God in his person. Take account of the birth of Jesus. Take account of the way that Mary, a virgin, was found a child of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't creation, it was incarnation. Distinct from every other man that walked on this earth. And what comes out in his life was in every way pleasing to God, pleasing to his God. Who else could be put forward as pleasing to God? And we can take account of what is written about him in the Gospels. His pathway here. The perfection of that pathway. The beauty of that pathway. Doing good. Bringing in healing. Bringing in blessing. But you think of the way that he was rejected. There's nothing worthy of death. Pilate could say that. I find nothing worthy of death in him. I find no fault in him. Pilate had a right appreciation of Jesus in that way that he was perfect. That he was perfect. But the crowd cried out, crucify him, crucify him. They rejected him. They rejected him. And dear friend, if I'd been there at that time, I would have cried out the same. How easy it is to get caught up with the crowd, just to go along with things. But even that Jesus was rejected, he was nailed to a cross. There he suffered. He suffered at the hands of men. You think of those 3 hours when he hung there. And men and mankind came along and jeered at him, mocked him. And what sufferings, what sufferings. But how much greater, dear friend, those 3 hours of darkness. What darkness came upon this world from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, midday to 3 o'clock, darkness. God poured out his wrath upon Jesus. What for? For me, dear friend. For my sins. My sins were borne by Jesus. And I can give thanks that your sins were borne by him too. They were borne for him, by him for you. At the end of those 3 hours of darkness, he says, it is finished. It is finished. God, full judgment, was completed. If I was asked to suffer for one of my sins, just one, it would mean eternal banishment from God. But in that he took my sins upon him, he bore them. He bore them in those 3 hours. And he died. And his further act of hatred against him was that his side was pierced. From a dead Jesus, the Roman soldier came along and pierced his side. And what came out was blood. The precious blood of Jesus. How we can give thanks for that. Because as the children of Israel, coming out of Egypt, they had to put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. And God could say then, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The blood of Jesus. How precious it is. it gives God a righteous basis to come out in blessing. But then he died, he was dead, and he went into the grave. But God confirmed his satisfaction in Jesus by raising him from the grave. What a victory! What a victory! The power of death broken! And he's now in glory, and he's waiting to bless. And this this jailer was pointed to him, pointed to Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. How wonderful! How wonderful, dear friend, to know that our sins and our and the wrath of God has been dealt with. It comes down to each one of us to answer to this. This jailer, he answered. He answered. He put his faith in Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus. He didn't say, well, perhaps I can work out something with God. He might. I had somebody at work say to me, well, I'm sure it's like a scales. The old-fashioned scales. That on one side, I can put my good works. On one side, I can put my good works, and on the other side, can be my bad works. And somewhere or other, they'll balance up. But they weren't different. They won't. They can't. They can't. God needs a righteous basis. And the only way that we can come to this righteous basis is to put our trust in the Lord Jesus. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. What a wonderful thing it is. And it comes down personally to each one of us to answer to that. Now, if we have put our trust in the Lord Jesus, what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is. And I'd like to speak about not just the initial salvation, initial saving, but I'd like to speak about an eternal salvation, a future time. And I'd like to turn to Luke's Gospel, Luke's Gospel, in chapter 23, is on page 1262 in the Bible that I have here. It's speaking about the time when Jesus was on the cross. And maybe we could read from verse 39. The picture is that there's Jesus on the cross in the middle, and you have two malefactors, two criminals either side of him. Now, one of the malefactors who was hanging spoke insultingly to him, saying, "Art thou the Christ? Save thyself and us." But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, "Dost thou too not fear God, thou who art under the same judgment? And we indeed justly, for we receive the just recompense of what we have done. But this man has done nothing amiss." And he said to Jesus, "Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Verily, I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." I want to speak about this man who said, "Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom." Because he was the one who received Jesus. He put his trust in Jesus. He realized that he had a need. He realized that he was under God's judgment. He had done things which weren't right. And he clearly accepted that. And by saying, "Dost thou not fear? Dost thou too not fear God? Thou who art of the same judgment," realized that he had not only to answer to the authorities, but he also had to answer to God. And he accepted that he had done wrong. He had accepted the gospel. But then he had a matter as to what about the future? What about the future? It's right and proper that we put things right with God now. But what does it mean in the future? Well, dear friend, the good news in the glad tidings is that you're not just saved now and you're lost in eternity. You can't be saved now and lost in the future. How wonderful that is, that God will save and save forever. This man, it was a very short time between the time when he accepted Jesus as his Saviour to when he died. And he went to be with Jesus. He went to be with Jesus. How precious that is, to be assured of your future. Some people say, "I hope to go to heaven. I hope to go to heaven." But it's a hope of doubt. They're not certain about it. But when you put your trust in Jesus, there's a certainty as to where you're going, that you're going to go to heaven. Now, I can't tell you much about heaven, but there's one thing I know, that Jesus is there, and when I get called up, I'll have a body of glory like his glorious body. Suffering, pain, sorrow will be no more. What a precious matter it is to be certain as to your future. So we have initial salvation. We have eternal salvation. What is happening in the future. But that leaves us with the present time. And to get from A, putting our trust in the Lord Jesus, to B, where we're taken to be with him. There may be a short time like this man, there may be a longer time. But what we need there is present salvation. And I'd just like to read at the end of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 28. It's on page 1190. And verse 16. But the 11 disciples went into Galilee, to the mountain that Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they did homage to him, but some doubted. And Jesus, coming up, spoke to them, saying, "All power has been given me in heaven and upon earth. And go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them to the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have enjoined you. And behold, I am with you all the days until the completion of the age." Well, what a wonderful matter it is that Jesus will be all that we need. He will be everything to us at the present time. We make mistakes. We all make mistakes. We do things wrong. But when we turn to Jesus, we find in him a wonderful Saviour. We can be straightforward in our relationship with Jesus. Because he knows all about us. He knows all about us. He knows when we do things wrong. He doesn't condemn us. It's not that we would want to do things wrong. We wouldn't want to cause Jesus pain, would we? And we would desire to do what was pleasing to him. But sadly, we are weak and we are frail. And we do fail. But Jesus will never let us down. Never let us down. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I have a younger brother. And we were very close. But it didn't stop us fighting. Didn't stop us fighting. I remember often my mother would ask us to lay the table for tea. Fairly straightforward, simple job. But it's much better to chase my brother around the table and have a little bit of aggro. Cause stress to my mother. And we knew about it. We were the best of mates, really. But, the ups and downs. But with Jesus, what a one. What a man. He sticks closer than a brother. And God doesn't just have a matter as to Jesus being close to us. But he would also give us power, the Holy Spirit, to indwell us, to help us, to realise what is pleasing to God. To cause us to walk in the right direction, to give us power to walk in the right direction. There's many things that would niggle away. The enemy of our souls would come in and he'd try to stir up trouble. It's not an easy pathway at times. It's not an easy pathway. We struggle and we struggle. I've been on the Christian pathway, I suppose, some 45 years or so. And it's not easy. It's a struggle. The enemy gets to you. Gets at you. But when you have Jesus and you have power from the Holy Spirit, but then you're also brought through. You're brought through. Be like Paul and Silas. We read about Paul and Silas in the prison. You're brought through in whatever circumstances you find yourself. You can respond to God. You can sing and you can praise. How good God is. He's provided for our every need. And he would desire to have us responsive to him. In the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, these are just simple thoughts, dear friend. They're very precious. First of all, the entrance in must be coming to Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. And to have the conscious sense of your future being certain, that everything has been removed which would offend God. And then to know that however long we've got, or however short, wonderful thing is, Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. It could be tonight. It could be tonight. It may be a little while longer. Because he has a desire to bless all men. He has a desire to bless all men. But Jesus is coming. How we look forward to that. But, dear friend, it comes down to a question as to whether you have accepted him for yourself. It's a personal transaction. I'd love to be able to believe for you. I'd love to be able to believe for all men. But I can't. I can't. It comes down to each one of us accepting Jesus for ourselves. Come to Jesus, dear friend, and find in him a wondrous, blessed Saviour. May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen.